views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, super welcome. For those of you just tuning us in and turning us on, I want to say welcome to the show. For those of you that were with us for the last hour, welcome back to everyone. Shout out to all of you over there at WBOQ, all of you tuning in to our show from wherever you're tuning in from. Shout out to Mr. Benny. Hello, B.
What's up?
We got a visitor in the studio
today. We do.
Are we happy?
I'm always happy when we got people in here.
We got people in the studio. Mm-hmm. We have a very special guest joining us here today, talking about one of the most interesting and challenging aspects of my life, and that is understanding and clarifying purpose. And what does that even mean? You know, if you're somebody like me, you kind of wallowed around in your life for the first, I'd say, half of it. You know, kind of figuring you're gonna do the deal, you're gonna take one job, do another. And by the way, I'm like a little dog. I'm so loyal. I was with the same company for 25 years. But what has that got to do with my purpose or purpose in general? How do we talk about purpose? You know, what I love, Osiris is joining us here today. Osiris, as I've mispronounced his name several times, Osiris.
Indria.
Indria.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what I love about this. I always practice for the shows, just so you know, and I completely practice wrong.
Yes.
So now I love being able to correct myself on air. But, you know, when I think about Osiris and I think about what he has said yes to in his life, it's hard for me to imagine if each and every one of us, if whether or not we have the ability to have such clarity. This is why he's joining us here today on the show, because we live in this interesting world where we second guess ourselves. We're not quite sure what to do or how to do it. We're not really clear about the people, the loved ones in our lives, and what they are here to do and how to do it. And so we live in a very left brain, almost methodical way of looking at, I'm born, I live, and I'm gone. That's it. And even though we don't do it quite like that, in a sense, we don't stop long enough in this day and age to really understand any universal laws or systems, or even talk about things like when I say tree of life today. What is that? Today, get ready for an incredible journey with, you know, someone that has so said yes to his life as a spiritual guide, as a healer, you know, as someone that has gone through and has been apprentice. And you're going to hear the many, many ways that he has A, been apprentice, and B, master. And so as we get to look at what the inside looks like, not just of Osiris and his life, but how do we get to move this to our own conversation? I don't know about you, but if you're sitting on the sidelines, it is really time to get in the game. Today's show, I hope, will help. For those of you out there, the phone lines are going to be open throughout the show if you would like to call in. 1-800-930-2819. It's great to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
you know, I think that we grow up in a culture where, at least I've grown up in a culture, where we expect wisdom from many, many of our elders. But there is a change among us. And I say that because I've now watched some very young, amazing people step into this world and have more brilliance at young age. I have an 8-year-old in my life right now. More brilliance at a young age than I'm sitting here today with. And I'm so thrilled to have you here. I want to ask you this question. There are many things I did not say about you because I want to ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Here you are in this world, teacher, student. What are some of the challenges that you personally had to overcome to bring you to this very moment?
That's a beautiful question. When I started life, as most kids, you know, innocent, maybe a little bored with the world controlled by the adults. And I was fortunate where very young I had a clarity of mission that occurred around 6 years old for me. I was in a Catholic church in Mass, drawing on envelopes, bored because it was not structured or set up for me. And I had this voice in my head that said I would master myself in this lifetime and bring as many people with me as I could. I saw this beautiful vision of all these people walking with me as equals. And that sounded great, but I was 6 years old. And I was really ignorant of the world and innocent and didn't understand the ramifications of that. But I actually lived with that as my focus for most of my childhood and teenage years, and assumed that I would be finding that path to accomplish that mission in the Catholic Church, because that's where that inspiration came to me. And so I started going to confession a lot, because not because I was feeling like I was sinning, but because I wanted to ask the priest how I would accomplish this mission, because who knew better than the priest?
Right.
And eventually the priest told me that what I was looking for was not something I could find in that system. And I was completely crushed because the priest stands at the altar in order to be an intermediary between the people and God and Jesus and all of those higher divine principles and spiritual reality. And I knew deep down that all of us had an altar to stand at and that we needed to figure out how to do that for ourselves. And I actually had a major depression after that, because the easy path, this thing that I knew I was just had suddenly become impossible.
Mm.
And I actually stopped eating, stopped sleeping. It wasn't that I was suicidal. It's just I didn't care about life anymore because my purpose was missing. My purpose became impossible.
Mm.
And then through just going to bookstores and looking in spiritual sections, I started seeing that there were other things out there. I studied Taoism, Zen Buddhism, earth magics, anything I could get my hands on, Gnostic Christianity, all forms of mysticism. And they all had little clues, but none of them really felt like it. So I came to this realization that maybe I had to create this vehicle. And that freaked me out because I was still young. I was a teenager. And how was I going to accomplish this huge purpose without help? So I made my attempts to do that by actually finding the rave scene early on in the late 90s. And what I saw there that I didn't see anywhere else was a more equal playing field of people coming together and expressing themselves on a dance floor. Sure, there was a lot of drug use and things that were bad for the body that were occurring in that same world, but there was also a lot of connection and shared spiritual experience that didn't have dogma attached to it. People were having their own awakenings in this form of movement. And so I started working with a group of people to create events that hopefully people wouldn't need to damage their bodies so much at, by making them more stimulating, more decorations, more speakers and education and performance art and visual art. All adding up to an intentional spiritual experience. So I worked on that. It was called the Oracle Gatherings from the 2001 to 2009. And in there, we did an event called Mystery School.
Oh.
And at that event, a woman Dr. Teresa Bullard came. She's an initiate of a lineage that goes back to King Solomon from the Bible. And she showed up to check it out. And we were at a nudist park in Sultan, Washington. We were a group of hippie ravers out in the sun in the lawn. And there we had invited a group of gothic industrial music lovers who were deep in the woods in the dark. And our idea being that the mysteries were solved by bridging light and dark, bringing somehow reconciling opposites. So we had a middle stage where there was where we booked every other artist, and that's where all the food was, to encourage the two very different aesthetically groups together, and so we could see where we had common ground and work together. So it was at that event that she just found us, which is a very strange place to arrive at, very interesting experiment. And she immediately felt some kinship with me specifically and several members of the group, and just started coming over and talking with me. And over time, I just started realizing there was something different and special about this person. And it started sounding like there was a system that has existed for thousands of years to do exactly what my mission was. It sounded a little bit too good to be true. So I was very skeptical. And she encouraged my skepticism. She said, that's actually how this system works. If you believe what I say at face value, then you're not actually mastering yourself. So she helped encouraged me to question, to stay skeptical, and then to experience. And through experiencing it, I realized that there was a system where I could accomplish my mission, and not only do that, but help find other people with the same mission and help them accomplish it as well.
What was the next thing you did? I'm so curious, you know, because sometimes people have an interaction like that, and, you know, it's a magical moment. I mean, it's one of those moments, it's life-changing. You can feel it in your heart, right? And then they either take a direction to get closer to where they want to go, or they don't.
Well, first I didn't, because I had followed gurus around the world. I had tried everything, and inevitably they ended up failing me in some way, because their humanness showed that there was a facade to what they were doing, that there was a projection of what appeared authentic, and then if you dug a little deeper, there was much less substance than there appeared on the surface. And the reason that the brilliance of just coming over that Teresa did to communicate with me was it allowed me to dig deeper into her substance. And when I saw the substance there, that's what attracted me. And she challenged me, and she encouraged me to have experience, to have my own experience, tell her about my experience of the tools that came with this tradition. And then eventually she explained to me that the best thing for me to do was to meet the international family that participated in this tradition. And it was there that I really found my family.
Wow. Isn't it interesting how, you know, how our willingness to learn about the underpinnings of who we are, ourselves, how that really leads us on a path where all the dots seem to get connected very naturally and very beautifully. When we come back, I want to ask you about what was it about that interaction that took you to the place where you are today? What were the dots that did get connected for you? And did it or did it not create more of a craving for knowledge and wisdom, or less? Let's take a short break. We'll be right back, everyone. Purpose is today's conversation. If you have a comment or question, 1-800-930-2819. When we come back, I've got lots of information for all of you about how you too can take this journey. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
What does it mean to be healthy? For each of us, it means something a little different. Discover the art of herbal medicine, a natural way to help our bodies respond better to the modern-day stress and toxicity of our everyday lives. Using organic herbs from around the world, the skilled herbalists at Urban Wellness in Kirkland can help you choose the herbs that are right for your body. Find your herbal solutions for common health issues at urbanwellness.com. That's H-E-R-B-A-N wellness.com.
Put a little in your life with Keys. Keys Clear Protein Waters have 22 grams of smile-making, attitude-adjusting protein in every bottle. Did I mention its tongue-tingling taste? Not just another guilty pleasure. With Keys, you'll enjoy every low-sugar sip and freedom from gluten, lactose, and GMOs. Who needs the fountain of youth when you can find Keys on Amazon or at Keys, K-E-E-S, please.com. Put a little woohoo in your attitude with Keys Protein Water.
Are you ready for a radical shift in your way of being? Are you seeking a more deeply connected and fulfilling life? Awakened Living Radio is a show dedicated to helping you embrace a life filled with profound peace, connection, and happiness. TJ Woodward is passionate about helping you find your clarity, balance, and purpose. Join co-host TJ Woodward and Dr. Pat Basile on the first Monday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific Time for Awakened Living Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Awaken to your radiant, authentic self. For over 15 years, Soul Purpose Advocate Nancy Monson has been focused on leading change in the lives of those looking to live their true purpose. She is devoted to supporting people in living a soul-directed life every day. Let Nancy help you overcome fear, worry, and doubt. Visit everydayspirituality.com to learn how Nancy can be your Soul Purpose Advocate.
Almost everyone at some time in their lives ask themselves, what am I? Most of our questions are ego-generated and simply don't address the problem of our false self. It's time to relax your ego and embody your soul. Dr. Dan Cohen, neurologist, inventor, and author, has created tools to awaken, a new way to transform from who you thought you were into what you truly are. Visit toolstoawaken.com today.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. And Transformation Talk Radio, Living Kabbalah. And this is about clarifying your purpose. And the reason that we're here talking about this is because in 13 years I've been doing this show, the one thing, the one question that has clearly by far has floated to the top more time than any other question has been around purpose or their lack of. Now, what I want to say about this, Osiris is going to give us some information, is that there are a series of opportunities for all of you out there and thinking, how am I going to get insight? What can I learn? How can I do it? So we've got a couple of dates that I would love for all of you. If you don't have a pen now, you can. This show is going to air again later tonight on Transformation Talk Radio. But again, we're going to give you phone numbers. There is a way for all of us to understand how we can fully live. Thank you for joining us here today on the show.
Thank you.
Would you mind giving it? Let's give out some information for people, and we'll mention it again later.
Yes. So the program that I'm here speaking about today is called Living Kabbalah, And the actual experience is a 10-month-long experience. So it's a pretty major commitment. That begins January 30th and 31st here in Seattle. And because we know it's a big commitment, it's helpful to have a little flavor of what it's going to be about and what some of the tools are. So we have some opportunities before then to sample a few of the opportunities within this tradition. The first one being on December 2nd at the 10th House Light Center, which is where I work. And it's all about living Kabbalah and redirecting your abundance. So it's about money, and it's about how money can be a spiritual thing.
Yeah, yeah. I love that, because we often think about spirituality and money not coexisting on the same plane. But when we go back and we look at the people that, you know, walk the earth, you know, the masters, the teachers, they were not poor.
Nope.
They had property.
Yes.
They understood the essence of abundance. They really got it. And all of a sudden, we have this idea that spirituality and abundance cannot coexist, or that we're not meant to have them coexist. So this is a very important topic in the day and age we live in.
I mean, even Jesus, when he was born, three wise men brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh so he could do his mission. So
no
he
kidding.
Started with wealth from the beginning so he could accomplish that. He chose to live in poverty later as part of his mission, but in order to get started, there was a foundation of abundance.
Absolutely. Okay, now what's the other event?
So for those who are ready and they know that they're going to be participating, we have an enrollment party for everyone who's going to be joining the class in January on December 11th. And that's where we're going to just get together, celebrate, meet each other, and talk a little bit about how the actual 10-month program works and talk about dates and scheduling, because typically class size is around 30 people. So when you have that many schedules to coordinate together, it's helpful to get a little jump start on that.
Yeah. And you take this journey with other people.
Yes.
That's what's so cool about this.
Yes.
You really get to take the journey with others. It's really a community of love and learning.
Exactly, because living Kabbalah is not something that I can teach someone. It's something where I can share my relationship with Kabbalah, but people awaken their own relationship with it. So the more people involved, the more you can see other people building their relationship, and that should inspire you to build more of your own.
Wow. And so what's the best website for people to find out more? How might they go about that? And also the phone, a good phone number for folks.
Yes. So the website is 10thhouse.org. So that's 10th house, H-O-U-S-E, .org. And if you want, you can even do /Kabbalah, and that gets you right to it. So that's /KABBALAH. Or even on Facebook at facebook.com/10thhouse.
Perfect. So today, you know, we're talking, and we're going to do a number of other shows together. We're talking about purpose, this idea of purpose. And I said something before the break. You know, I said something like, you know, here we are. It's one of the most asked questions we get from people calling into the show, as if we don't have a purpose, as if today what you and I are doing is not a purpose, that I'm waiting for something else. Not that we don't have that craving for something else. And I wanted to ask you this question. You know, this idea of purpose is so important. Where did it come from? And how do we translate the ancient wisdom around it to modern times?
Those are excellent questions.
There was a bunch right there.
Yeah.
I don't know where them. I have no idea where they came from.
I love it. So deep inside all of us, there's a certain sense that we have something here to do. And maybe we've forgotten. And I actually really enjoyed listening to the previous guest you had on the show talking about anxiety, because a lot of anxiety and depression is what happens when we lose touch with purpose, when we don't have a sense of who we are, what we're doing here. We actually have some specific questions we ask in Kabbalah to help us begin the process of training the mind to aim toward purpose. And these questions are, who am I? What am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? And what is my purpose? In that order. Because first, you have to know yourself to know purpose. And we live in a world that would really like to do everything it could to distract us from self. It wants us to be engaged outside of us with all the things going on, the tragedies, the amazing inspirations, the marketing opportunities for us to invest our time, energy, money in things that may or may not benefit us. All of those extend us outside of us. And there's not much out there that is asking us to go inside and build our relationship with ourselves. So in that world, it kind of gives us a sense that there is no purpose or there is a severe lack of purpose. And even when people succeed in life, you can see a lot of people have an eventual downfall because they didn't have a purpose or a foundation of purpose to hold that up. One of the great examples we like to talk about is Elvis, the king. Who, amazing performer, amazing purpose, and maybe, or you know, he may have had a great sense of purpose at some point, but somewhere along the line, that foundation of purpose wasn't there, and he fell. And that's an interesting story. Even my own name, Osiris, is a god who fell. There's this archetype of one who rises to great heights just to fall, even Icarus, right? That's a repeating story throughout history. So, you know, one of the beauties of understanding purpose is that our road to purpose includes failure, that we reach up many times and don't succeed before we succeed. And that's part of living life. So a life of purpose doesn't mean a life of permanent and constant success. It means a life of knowing direction and the confidence that even when I fail, I've made progress.
Yeah, I want to ask you about this because when we come back from break, and we're going to skip the last break too, I want to ask you about this because, you know, I had someone say a very interesting thing to me the other day, actually maybe last week it was, and the, you know, the thing that was said was, you know, every day we get to take steps, right? Mm-hmm. We take steps forward, even though some days we think we're taking steps backwards.
Right.
It's almost impossible to do that energetically in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some days, you know, we take a step forward and it doesn't look like we're on the right path. But there are things that happen that ultimately make a mid-course correction. And so we read into things like if we don't get a client or the relationship of our life doesn't materialize. You know, we go to a place of thinking, that's not for me. I'm not on my path. I'll never be love. Mm-hmm. And yet, I want to ask you this question. How do we pay attention to the signs? You know, what is it that we can do to know that we live in a benevolent universe that is not trying to harm us and would never play a cosmic joke on us? Or maybe it would. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back. The cosmic joke. Could it be our purpose? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, identify your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst and clairvoyant who uses her intuitive and energetic gifts to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller, 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness, the Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a Bars session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a Bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
Wow, it's great music. Thank you, Benny. Thank you. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the show. For more information about us, you can go to thedrpatshow.com or transformationtalkradio.com. And then Facebook, The Dr. Pat Show, and Twitter, The Dr. Pat Show, for sure. If you just want to find shows or you've missed any part of today's show, what you can do is, again, it'll replay tonight on Transformation Talk Radio, and you'll be able to see like thousands of archives there. For many of you, you don't listen through the normal channels anymore because they're really not normal. In this day and age, we carry our smartphones and there are apps, and many of you say you're plugged in and you're listening in your car. And I'll tell you, I never thought in a million years that I would know that that technology was the way that we get to connect, but it works. Today we're talking about purpose. And, you know, one of the things that I love about this is we get to have information and get to share with people and take them on a journey. I would just love, before we talk about something that's going to be a pretty deep conversation, tell us about the events again. Tell us about you. And that's your music, isn't it?
Yes, we've been
listening. How can they find out more about the music?
So you can actually search for my name on iTunes or Amazon or Google Play. My name is Osiris Indria, O-S-I-R-I-S, and Indria is kind of an interesting spelling. It's I-N-D-R-I-Y-A. I have two full albums and an EP available for digital download and all the main download sites. And I am actually starting a new music label called Blessoteric, which is coming out in January with some new music for me and some of my friends.
Great. So you can do a show on our music channel.
That would be wonderful.
I know. Who knew? Now, tell us about the events again. And Benny and I will just probably skip the next break because there is a lot to talk about here. So tell us again. You know, these are exciting, actually.
So the... To actually have the Mystery School Experience of Kabbalah, it's a 10-month-long program, and it begins January 30th and 31st here in Seattle. And that's a big commitment, as I said earlier. And so we have some opportunities to get a little taste of what's to come. The next one is December 2nd, which is a Wednesday night at 10th House Light Center. And it's Living Kabbalah about redirecting abundance. So we're going to be learning about money and how money works in a spiritual context.
I love it. I love it. Okay. We're talking about Kabbalah. We're talking about purpose.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes things show up in life that don't seem like they're very pleasant, whether it's loss of a job or a relationship. And we think, well, wait a minute. You know, even though I didn't get that promotion, how do I know I'm supposed to really stay here? You know, am I, you know, part of a cosmic plan or a cosmic joke?
Mm-hmm. That's a really, the Kabbalah has a really interesting perspective on that, actually. So what most of us are trained to do in the world is respond and react to what comes at us. And Kabbalah wants us to reverse that flow, to instead of having stimulus come in and then we respond to it. So the stimulus could be this relationship failed, this job failed, or I got a surprise promotion I didn't expect. All of those things, instead of kind of riding the roller coaster of life to become more of a director of life. And that's a pretty bold statement, because most of us don't necessarily feel like we have the power or control, or that maybe even having that kind of power or control would be somehow breaking the rules. But that assumes that we're following the rules that are being dictated by the world out there. And if we're living a life of purpose, the world out there doesn't have that purpose for us. That purpose is actually inside of us. We've always had it, but we allow these external things to obscure that sense of purpose, and we start needing to respond to the world out there because that's the stimulus we have.
Yeah.
So what we do in Kabbalah is we go through a process of creating a new way of organizing the mind. So we actually divide experience input up into first 10 slots, 10 boxes that we can look at everything in our world and associate it to one of 10 things, which instead of this totally chaotic world where nothing makes sense, where when things happen to us, often we don't understand it. And so we have to actually stuff that experience away in the subconscious to hopefully be able to process in the future. But we're getting so much information these days at such a breakneck speed that there's no way to deal with the backlog, let alone what's happening to me right now. So that's where this new organization of the mind can allow us to both process information as it comes in and then begin to deal with this backlog of all the things we've experienced that we didn't understand. And once we clear all of that up, then we become more of a collaborator with life, and that we're in a co-creative role with the divine, with creation, with the universe, with nature, and we have more say than we realized before. Because there's more of us living here in this moment. We're not spread out into shame and worry about the past or fear of what's going to come in the future. We can bring all of that energy and essence of self into this moment, living this moment as me, who I am, and then expressing purpose.
Yeah, fear of the future is a showstopper.
Yes.
It is. And whether or not we're talking about, you know, fear of an event that's going to happen an hour from now, or fear in an event that may happen 5 years from now or 10 years from now. And so how have you seen this system work for people?
I love that question because I've actually watched hundreds of people engage in this 10-month process. Again, a very big commitment. And not everyone makes it through. And what I will tell you is that the people who quit, it's not because it wasn't working. It's because they weren't ready to see what Kabbalah can reveal about themselves. There's some attachment they had to having someone else be at power in their lives, or being in codependent relationships, or in somehow giving away their power to something else so they didn't have to be responsible for the things that happen in their life, both good and bad. And when you take complete responsibility for everything you're experiencing, then you have to do something about it. And no one else is going to do it for you. And that might seem kind of lonely, but it's actually extremely empowering. And when you take that responsibility and you see that you can make those changes, then you actually get to show up and really participate in community as yourself instead of allowing other people to set that experience up for you.
And, you know, it's interesting we're talking about this because, you know, I was reading a headline of something that came through on my phone. And, you know, it really did talk about the shift in energy, the shift in the economy, what the past 8 years are gone and so forth and so on. Yet for people they're not quite there yet. They're not, you know, folks are not quite there yet. Yet we measure all of this in the outside world.
Right.
You know, we measure these markers in the outside world. When we say take responsibility for something,
mm-hmm.
It's interesting that you were talking about shame,
mm-hmm.
because shame would prevent us from even looking at the thing,
so
let
true.
Alone take responsibility. How does Kabbalah help people go from that place of shame, right?
Yeah.
To that place of freedom?
So as I mentioned before, you divide experience into these 10 mm-hmm. buckets or slots or files, depending on how you want to think about it, but these sections of experience. And when you start with that system, then as you look into each one of those slots, you can see where we are uncomfortable looking. And that gives us a clue as to the type of healing we need to experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually, healing almost always incorporates some level of forgiveness. Forgiveness of self, forgiveness of other, usually
yeah.
a little bit of both.
Yeah.
And we can bring that healing ourselves. So another thing Kabbalah tells us is I can reveal these hidden places in me and that I'm the one to heal it. It's not someone else who's going to do this. Someone else might help be the reflection or the mirror that I use to illuminate these places. But it's ultimately me that needs to understand and do the change, become the change that allows that healing to take place.
You know, I wanted to ask you a question about it, about something you said. We're talking about this program, right?
Yeah.
And we're talking about the fact that, you know, this is a commitment. But I really love that we are using that kind of language, because sometimes we don't think purpose is a commitment. Right?
Yes.
And I've heard this more times than not, you mm-hmm. know, that I'm just waiting for my purpose to kind of pop up, then I'm going to know, and there I'm going to be.
Yes.
Now, when it showed up for me, I didn't know it was what I was really supposed to do. I did think it was a little cosmic joke. and B, I didn't have any sense that it would contribute to anything in the world at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so how will people learn the essence of what is being revealed to them? And I know that is a tough question because it's different from everyone, but you have watched hundreds of people.
Yes.
And you have seen the change in people. You
yes.
know, how have they been different, if you can just share a little bit about that?
Sure. So in all of these different classes, so you have this 10-month commitment,
mm-hmm.
you've got all these different people, and what's interesting is that you move through the process or these 10 slots together. And so even though you have people of all different ages and
mm-hmm.
backgrounds, they are having a similar experience. So the very first thing we do, it's a process called ascension.
It's,
mm-hmm. And it's different from maybe how most people use that word. It's an actual ritual ceremonial process that's been being done in the mystery school tradition for
yeah.
thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
I would actually say it's more of a science than
mm-hmm.
it is a meta-science
yeah.
because of the fact it's been tested for generations in all different cultures. And what it does is it changes your vibratory frequency so you can exist at this slot. So I mentioned these 10 slots.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a part of you that's resonating there. So what happens is you begin to look at your life through that lens. You don't master it right away. It takes time. But then so are all these other people in the group having that same experience. And even though we're so different, it's the similarities that help us to understand what that hidden place is in the middle of all of that.
Yeah.
So it's the... Even though you have really, like, some people will go home and look at their house and be like, oh my gosh, I have all this stuff I don't need. I've
mm-hmm.
been holding on to these boxes of things for decades, maybe, that I always thought one day I'm going to make use of this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe it's not relevant to me anymore. Or other people look at their relationships. But yet there's some similarities to the approach that people find together and find in that community and begin to have a much deeper understanding of who they were before and how they want to be in the future.
You know, I one of the things I was struck by in thinking about this and knowing I was going to speak with you today is how we think purpose is an end game. Mm-hmm. Meaning it is, okay, I'm going to discover my purpose and off I go, and I'm going to just, you know, like trot right along there, and there we go, and that's it. I'm going to have that purpose. And I started to look back at a couple of things in my own life, and, you know, I wondered for myself, you know, am I able to describe what I believe my purpose is? Is there a reoccurring theme? Is there a mm-hmm. common theme in my life? And I wish I could sit here today and say that I got the divine insight and I have a sense of it. Mm-hmm. I don't. But one of the things that resonated for me was I have always gotten sort of on the underdog team. Mm. You know, this is really interesting because you and I were talking about Gloria Steinem. We were talking about Gloria Steinem during the last show, and you and I were talking about some of the people we know together, right? Mm-hmm. And what I was struck by is how we look at purpose like we look at a job.
Yeah.
I got this job. I got my purpose. Yeah. I got my purpose. And maybe my purpose is my job. What have you found are some of the misconceptions when people say, I want to know my purpose?
A lot of people shoot very low. Because they're looking at what is accessible to them today. And they may be seeing something that seems out of reach, but it's almost like if you're already aware of it, it's in reach. And Kabbalah asks us to actually reach beyond what we've even imagined and to expand our imagination, because we can't create anything in our life that we haven't first imagined. So, you know, our world out there wants us to grow up at a certain age and put away the childish things and stop using that imagination and get grounded, get our feet on the ground and get real. But what Kabbalah says is no, the opposite. We should be masters of imagination. So for us, shooting high, it means literally inventing something that's never been in this reality before. And that's what our purpose is to bring us into this physical universe, because I am not a physical being. You are not a physical being. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience. And the experience of physicality for a spiritual being is to express itself in physical matter, which is a pretty big deal, to be able to express a spiritual thing in the world of matter. And maybe that's kind of a very out there concept.
But, you know, I'm so glad we're talking about this, because, you know, we're on the verge of launching our crowdfunding campaign. Mm-hmm. And I spent almost the entire weekend working on how to describe, you know, what we're raising funds for. And, you know, we're raising funds so that we can secure a place for a positive conscious talk.
Yes.
In the world. But we had some criteria around it, right?
Yeah.
It had to be cost effective for people. It had to be able to reach people all over the world, both on AM, FM stations. So it's interesting you're saying this, because we sat down around a table and we realized it doesn't exist.
Right.
What we are wanting to create did not exist. Mm-hmm. But none of us thought it couldn't exist. And I think this is worth pointing out. It's okay to know that it doesn't exist, but how do we prevent ourselves from going to the next place, which is, well, that doesn't exist, it'll never happen. That's not where we are, by the way.
Right.
Because we've half developed it. It's almost finished.
Awesome.
I mean, think about a network that is a plug and play, where an entire other network can literally plug in positive content. Every show, every host, every hour, everything they've ever done in three clicks. Three clicks.
That's amazing.
I don't even understand it. That's why. But we didn't have a moment until recently, I must say, where we weren't sure if we could pull it off. How do we deal with doubt in this process, right? How do we deal with doubt? It's such a toxic thing.
Well, doubt comes from a part of us that in our tradition we refer to as the negative ego. So in especially spiritual circles, there's this idea that ego is somehow bad. In fact, nothing would happen without ego. It takes ego to have the ambition to go, I'm going to create something that never existed before. So, but there's a part of us that's the negative ego, which is related to that subconscious dumping ground where all of that stimulus that we couldn't process, we dumped all of it in there. So that's all festering and saying in there saying, you can't do that. You don't have the energy for that. You got to deal with me first. Or your past experience says you can't do that. This is impossible. Or you don't have enough money for that. Or you don't have enough time. Or you don't know the right people. So all of those things are what contribute to doubt. So if we process through that, then doubt becomes much less. But I would say that even in the face of any new experience, having healthy doubt actually is a good indicator that you are being ambitious enough, that you're at least on the precipice of something truly new.
Yeah. And, you know, what I didn't say is that, you know, part of that is also to create an incredible podcasting venue. As a matter of fact, our podcasting venue is Podcast 123. And the simplicity of that is so that, wait a minute, it's just not for one or two people, you know, but what if for a dollar a day, anybody in the world could plug in as easily as you and I are talking? And I want to ask you about this, because maybe tomorrow I wake up and the technology is built. I mean, we're like literally at 80%. We're just going to raise some funds to finish it sooner.
Mm-hmm.
But what if I wake up tomorrow and like, wait a minute, maybe this is not me personally do. That doesn't mean it'll go away because mm-hmm. other people on the team are involved. What do we do when we realize that thing that I was doing, is that really mine to continue to do? Is that the truth, or is that my mind playing tricks on me?
That's great. So that happens, right? So
yeah, it does.
There's a few sources of that. So the interesting thing is that can come from many places. So it can come from the fact that I have a track record of only completing things to 80%, and then I hand things off to others. And that's my pattern. That's always how I've worked. Some people even say that because I've repeated this pattern so much, it must be my purpose. And that may not be the case. It just may be that there's an attachment that we have to either not seeing something through to completion, or a fear of it not completing under our watch. Or maybe we had an experience where we helped something not complete. There's many things that can happen. But when we're truly living a life of purpose, what ends up happening is those cycles begin to wind down and discontinue, and you move into a state of having new experiences all the time. So
wow.
If you find yourself in cycles, then that is actually evidence that we may be moving away from purpose, not towards purpose. Because purpose will always take us into new territory.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We call it in our tradition, the great work is the accomplishment of purpose. And in order to we envision it like a mountain. And in order to climb that mountain, there may be many smaller purposes that we accomplish on our way up that mountain. So we're not doing one thing repetitively. Yes, when we walk up the mountain, it's one step after the other. So, you know, the process is still a forward motion, but, you know, the territory is constantly changing. We're not walking in circles at the base of the mountain.
That's right, you know, but I have been known to chase my tail around a few times. What a great
show. I'm sure you're
show.
The only one.
right. But I will tell you, I mean, you know, today's conversation is so very important for a lot of reasons. You know, for folks listening to the show, you know, we get to contemplate that next step that we may not have taken without hearing what your message was. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for today. I've got one last question,
okay. And
then give out the website again. What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with? And thank you so much.
So what I would like to say is there's many, many ways to climb this mountain, and Kabbalah is not the only way. And we can live a life of discovery, success, and failure and find it our own way. That's a perfectly valid and beautiful path. But for some people, they're here to accomplish it at a greater speed and with more resources and more community. And if that's something that interests you and you'd like to have that experience and use tools that have been reliably used for thousands of years to accomplish it, then I definitely invite you to check it out and see if it's a good fit for you.
I love it. Thank you so very much for today. Give out the website again.
Yes. So 10thhouse.org. That's 10thhouse.org. And I never gave out our phone number.
No,
our phone number is 206-538-0070.
One more time.
206-538-0070.
And folks can be are available to answer questions if folks are not really sure about, you know, what's involved in the course. And then there are the pre-course events that
yes.
folks can come and be part of those as well. And
exactly.
all that information is there.
Yes, it is.
Thank you so much for today.
Thank you very much, Dr. Pat.
And you're going to be coming back. Tell everybody about what we're going to be doing next.
So the next time we're going to be talking about relationships, and then the third time we're going to talk about money.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on. Thank you, Benny, for pushing all the right buttons. Thank you, Brian, for doing the same. We'll see you next time.